Lord Amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, Joseph said in the pre-show cue, Joseph said, "Coach, you got your battle gear on today." Yeah, I do. I got my battle gear on today. I want to we'll give you a little bit of a warning here at the beginning of the show. Email some, tell them to tune in, text them, tell them to tune in, whatever. Just tell them to go to CoachDaveLive.com, CoachDaveLive.com. Just tell them to tune in. So I got my battle gear on because we've got to get geared up and get ready to go to war. So I'm holding back, really. Right now I'm holding back. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad. And I'm holding back right now for more people to get in here, because I don't want anybody to miss what we're going to show you today, what we're going to expose to you today. And so it is. So, hey, listen, real quickly, while you're sending those emails out and texting, come on, do it right now. Who, you? Yes, there's 24 of you in the queue right now. There should be 24 people sending out a text message to your friends or whoever. Say, hey, listen, tune in to Coach right now. Tune in, CoachDaveLive.com. They can, don't tell them to just go there, CoachDaveLive.com. They don't want to miss it. And tomorrow we're in Mayberry RFD, Mount Airy, North Carolina. Actually, is the town. And we're going to be doing some great on the street stuff. Paulie, if you can come in here, you're always out there lurking. What do we got going on down in Mount Airy this weekend, Paulie? I kind of caught you off guard there, I think, but you put a lot of time and effort and energy into getting this thing organized. Tell the people what they can expect and why we're coming down to Mount Airy.
Yes, we're going to be on the streets in Hickory Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. We'll go back to Mount Airy to sleep. Friday, we have lots of good food, good fellowship, and good more on the streets. We're going to be downtown Mount Airy. There will be about 10,000 people in town besides regular people.
Doing
Autumn Leaves Festival. It's a big, big festival for this town every year. So it's going to be lots of fun.
We're going to wear our Hillary shirts. We're going to take the Equal Justice Tour cards, and we're going to hand them out down there at the home of Andy Griffith, Andy Taylor, right? The Opie and Andy and Barney.
That's right. Equal Justice, and we have some tracks, too, that Alan Hoyle suggested. We'll be passing out tracks and striking up conversations with people. Some people may not know God at all, so we can strike up a conversation and introduce them to the Lord.
But we would think this is probably a pretty conservative place. Wouldn't you think, Paulie, down there at Mount Airy, this ought to be a pretty friendly crowd to us?
It is. But, you know, I've been watching Franklin Graham on his Facebook posts, and he's telling that hundreds of people are coming to the Lord, making commitments at his events that we're going to be at. So there are going to be people there that don't know who Jesus is necessarily. They want to hear more. So they're coming to Franklin Graham's event so we can be there outside. Sharing.
Is Franklin Graham going to be there, Paulie? What's going on? What's going on then with Franklin Graham?
Franklin Graham's going to be Thursday night. He's going all around the state, about 9 or 10 festivals, speaking engagements that he has with thousands of people. We're going to be there Thursday, 5 to 7 in Hickory.
So he's having Franklin Graham is having an event in Hickory on Thursday, and we're going to go there and hand out tracts and yada yada yada.
Yeah. Because there's going to be all kinds of people there, just Christians.
I'm helping people follow the story, okay? That's what we're going to do on Thursday, okay? So then we'll go home, we'll rest or whatever. We're going to get up on Friday. What are we going to do on Friday, Paulie?
Friday morning, Coach is going to be in the studio where Jared produces his shows every day.
Wow.
He'll be with Connor and Jared here. And you can come early if you're coming to the huddle, have coffee and donuts in the conference room. We'll have a live studio audience for you, Coach.
Cool.
And then we're going to be on the street. We're going to have our own private huddle with you and other speakers Friday morning. We're going to have lunch at a local park. We're going to go out on the streets in the afternoon. Larry's made pulled pork sandwiches for Friday night, and I made homemade whoopie pies. So Ooh. Come on down.
Okay, so we're going to be doing on-the-street activity on Friday.
Yep, and then Friday night we're going to go listen to some bluegrass music and watch some clogging. And then Saturday morning we're having a special ladies' breakfast and a men's breakfast separately for Saturday morning. And then it ends by noon. Okay. So come on down to Mount Airy. It's not too late to join North Carolina.
Jared, for some reason, I'm sorry, Polly. For some reason, I've lost the feed in my ear. I don't hear Polly at all. My wife has the show on. I hear her upstairs, but I don't, Jared, if it's on my end, if it's whatever, I am not hearing Polly.
Yeah, Coach, you're cutting in and out for about 10 seconds at a time. I think it's on your internet side. So
that's not good. What can I do here, bud?
I guess one thing, just hit F5, refresh your browser real quick, and that might help.
Okay, I'm going to refresh it. So I'm going to be gone for a few minutes. Polly can keep talking if she wants to, huh?
I'll be back. Oh, no. Okay. Well, yeah. I'll keep talking, but if there's anybody else who has something to share more important than what I have, come on in and share while Coach refreshes.
Well, Polly will be, as far as signage and street work, what do you got lined up for signage and street work and things we can do?
Yes, Mark is our sign man. He's a great sign man. He's bringing his truck down with lots of signs, I hope, Mark. He has very provocative and powerful signs. We're going to take those to the Franklin Graham event. There's going to be thousands of people, I think, at the Franklin Graham event in Hickory. It's really a big event, and it happens to fall on the night that we're starting our huddle. So that's why we're going to Hickory, which is an hour and a half south of Mount Airy. Mount Airy, North Carolina, is right up on the border of Virginia. Mark lives just about an hour north of there in Virginia. So he and Judy are coming down, and it's a great weekend for couples too. The festival's going to go all the way through Sunday night. So if you want to make a weekend with your wife, this is a perfect weekend to come down to Mount Airy. We're right at the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains. So
other street work?
Yep. Thursday afternoon, we'll be on the streets of downtown Mount Airy, where 10,000 people are going to be gathered.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. And so then, Polly, we're free to go. What time on Saturday will it be over?
We're going to be ending our huddle at noon on Saturday, but we welcome you to stay, make another night and another day with your wife. If you're coming with your spouse or friend, you're welcome to stay longer if you want.
Okay. There you go.
Cool. I just mentioned real quick that if it ends at noon on Saturday, just 15-20 minutes up the road is where I go apple picking every year. And it's about that time of year. I don't know. I'll have to check and see if they're going to be ready. But
yes, I'm sure they're ready by now. I will say, Larry, I think the apple picking in Maine is better than North Carolina. But if you're in North Carolina, you can pick apples in North Carolina with Larry.
Well, it's up in Virginia over the state line where I go.
Yes.
I'm going to feel like I'm in a home garden show.
It's going to be a great street witnessing weekend. Bring your signs. Bring your own signs. Lock her up. Hillary for prison. Wear your T-shirts. And if you don't have a T-shirt yet, please go to equaljusticestore.com/store and buy your T-shirt today.
They won't get them in time.
Everybody needs to have a T-shirt, whether they're coming to Mount Airy or not. We'll have the T-shirts here if you want to buy one when you get here.
All right, cool. All right, cool. Everybody text somebody, tell them to tune in. There's 27 people in the queue, 28. There's got to be more. Text them again. Say, I'm telling you, you got to tune in because I'm going to get into the nitty gritty. And I dressed for war for a purpose this morning. First of all, Connor, bring up Chad's video. If you could, Chad's 100 men video. Chad just sent me this morning, and this is kind of appropriate for what I was feeling I feel it in my fingers. I feel it in my toes. Love is all around me. So let the feeling. You guys remember that song? That'd be a good church song when we play that one. Chad sent me this morning, and Jared Connor's getting it up and ready for. Chad just created this video, and I thought it kind of falls in. It's only 2 minutes. It kind of falls in line with what I want to talk about here today. So let's go ahead and play that thing. Chad has just put this together.
Ancient Greek philosopher who had an interesting observation when it came to men on the battlefield. That realization he wrote down here. So let's discuss it. One out of every 100 men, 10 shouldn't even be there. 80 are just targets. 9 are the real fighters, and we are lucky to have them, for they make the battle. But the one is a warrior, and he will bring the others back. So now I've rewritten it based on what we're seeing in the church. One of every 100 men in the church, 10 shouldn't even be there. 80 are just going through the motions. 9 are true believers, and we are blessed to have them, for they make the remnant. But the one is a warrior. And he wields the power of God. Do we have the moral courage to stand firm for our beliefs, even if by doing so, we must stand alone? With whom do we stand? Who do we fear most? Man's judgment or God's?
That's a good one, Chad. That's a good one. We were talking about that yesterday.
Amen.
The fear of God. Amen. The fear of God. And you know why we're gathered here in this huddle today? Because some of you guys are those one in ten, or 1 in 100, actually. 1 in 100. And you know, the closer you get to the battle, I used to use this illustration when I was at London High School back in 1994, I think it was. We were really good. When we went to London in 1989, my first year at London, we had 38 guys on the team. And I realized that there were more football players walking the halls than there were on the field. Guys went out on the field. They weren't playing. So I began to work the halls, recruit players. And in 1989, we had 38 players, I think it was. And in 1994, 5 years later, we were pushing 100. I was afraid I was going to run out of numbers. I thought I was going to have to put 1A or 101 on the uniform or 102, because once we got good, everybody wanted to be on the team. But I also remember that when we would go out and we would fight one of our bitter rivals, we had 196 guys lined up and stretching out on the field. It was what an army we were. We won because we just intimidated the other team because we had so many guys. That was part of it. But when we got into a game where somebody could actually beat us, we knew it was going to be a tough game. I knew this. And they were all lined up and they were doing the stretching before the game. I'd walk up and down. I always walked up and down the aisle and gave a high five, slapped every kid on the helmet, gave him a high five, says, "Come on, man, we got a job to do," yada, yada, whatever it was I would say. But when we got into one of those battles where I knew it was going to be a hard-fought game because the other team was good as well, I was looking for 18. Chad, that's close to your number. I was looking for the 18 I knew I could really count on. I knew that there were at least 80, at least 80. They were just wearing the uniform. They had no intention of ever getting in the game, didn't want to be in the game unless we got way ahead, then they wanted to get in the game. But otherwise, when the battle was on the line, the game was on the line, and blood and snot was coming out of people's noses, 80 of those guys didn't want any part of the game. I was looking for the 18 guys I knew we could count on. It's the exact same thing Chad just talked about. The Gideon's Amen. Army. Gideon's Army. Not everybody gets it, see. Not everybody's part. Go ahead, Mark. I hear you.
Yeah, that was a good analogy. But you got a mic drop in the middle of all that, several, actually. When the team was doing good, everyone wanted to join it. Are we good at pushing back on Satan? Is the Christian community good at fighting? No. So no one wants to join the team, right, Coach? I mean, that's why I think people are drawn to what you're doing, is because you've got successes. You're good at what you do. And we need to be good and bring others in through doing. And then having a good team, we're on a good team. We're on Jesus's team.
That's right, brother. And we have to represent him as such, right? And as I said, or didn't say, but have often said, you would judge a coach by his team. You don't judge the team by the coach. You judge the coach by his team, how the team performs. And you look at the average church, the average, well, you look at Christianity in general. How are we doing? How's our team performing? We are losing every cultural battle. You name one battle we won. See, that's like saying, well, my dad's bigger than your dad, or my dad can beat up your, what the Christian response is, well, we win in the end. We know who wins in the end. Well, that doesn't give much courage to the guy who's currently out on the battle fighting right now. When I go out and I fight a battle, I want to win right now. Let me go back to one of my coaching analogies. I remember my first year when I went to London, they weren't very good. And we were trying to build a good, successful football program. And I'll never forget, one of the seniors came up to me. We were about week five. We weren't very good. We were 2-8 or 3-7 that first year. We weren't very good. And I'll never forget, one of the seniors came up to me. We were about game six or game seven. And he said, Coach, he said, listen, he said, I'm not trying to make you mad, but it sure seems to me like you're putting a lot of attention into the younger players. He said, I understand that you're trying to build a program and trying to help us all get better. I understand that. He says, Coach, this is my senior year. This is the only year I have. And it cut me to the quick. Because here was this guy. This was his chance. This was his only chance. He says, Coach, you're building for the future, and it's good that you're building for the future, but my future is right now. I only got a few more games left, Coach. Come on, help me now. Help us win now, Coach. I couldn't say to him, well, Gary, listen, you'll be really proud of the Red Raiders here in 10 years. In 10 years, we'll win in the end. You'll be really happy. No, Gary wanted to win now. And that's the mentality, see? That's the mentality of the church. We won't say it, but it's cowardly fallback position. My dad will beat up your dad in the end. That's the cowardly fallback position. And we are all here right now for such a time as this, with a very short period of time, to be able to make an impact with our lives. And most of us are too damn cowardly to do anything about it. Exactly what Chad said. Now, pull up Lexi video. Pull up Lexi video. Let me show you. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me, all right? I'm going somewhere. I'm going to show you a champion here. We don't have to play the whole thing. You guys know Lexi Hall, right? Are you guys supporting her? Are you guys supporting Lexi Hall in her battle to save little babies? Mark Harrington at Create at Equal sent this video out to me and almost brought tears. Not almost, it brought tears to my eyes. Almost made me weep. To know that, hey, Mark, this is fruit. This is fruit. It's not just fruit for me.
Amen.
It's
fruit
from the huddle. This is fruit from the huddle. Now, this is 8-minute video. I'm not going to play the whole thing. Lexi saves a baby. At the end of this 8-minute video, a woman going in to kill her baby, Lexi talks her out of it. Lexi saves a baby. But I want you to listen to Lexi, and this is the fruit of what we're doing here. Just go ahead and listen to this. Go ahead. We're going to play about 3 minutes of this thing. I'm heading somewhere.
All men are created equal.
Hi, my name is Lexi Hall. If you go right over there, you can get free ultrasounds, free pregnancy testing. Guys, you do not have to go through with this. After having an abortion, you are 6 times more likely to commit suicide. You have a higher likely rate of having breast cancer, higher likely rate of having depression. This is not good for you, guys. Please, we can help you. Guys, at 20 days, there is a heartbeat. At 40 days, there are brain waves. At 6 weeks, your baby responds to stimulus. At 8 weeks, they're sucking on his or her thumb. Please, it is not too late. It is not too late, y'all. Ma'am, will you please come talk to us? We can help you and your daughter, or whoever that is. We can help you, ma'am.
Please come talk to us.
You've tried, ma'am? Will you just take one of our pamphlets and go give it to her? Please, it's not too late. I'm sorry. Ma'am, you can go rescue her. This is a life or death situation. You can go back there. There's nothing that has to stop you. Please. Ma'am, but it's not too late. You can go bring her out here. We can talk to her. Ma'am. Okay, ma'am, but did you tell her that you will be there for her?
done my due diligence with my God and my Father, and I don't want this right now.
Ma'am, why did stop the video
right there? Stop the video right there, because this is the mother. This is the grandmother, and the grandmother says, "I've done my diligence. I've prayed, and if the Lord doesn't want her to have an abortion, then he'll stop her." Right? That's the attitude of Christians, right? No mom, no grandma. You go in there and rescue her. You go rescue her. You man up. You woman up. You go rescue her. Well, at the end of this video, I'm not going to watch the whole thing. We'll put it in the link so you can watch it. God bless Lexi Hall. God bless you, Lexi. God bless you that you decided that you're going to be one of those 100, that you were going to go do it, that you were going to stand up, that you were going to fight, you were going to take the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. You don't care what they said about you. You went there. And Lexi, there's a little baby that you'll never know today that's going to grow up and get married and have other children, and it's going to happen because you didn't listen to the naysayers that told you that you were wasting your time. God bless you, Lexi. You make me proud. You make me proud. Put that video in the chat so that people can watch the rest of it. She rescues her baby. In fact, the mother is amazing. The one that's back talking to her, the mother comes forward and said that she herself had had 6 abortions. The mother had. And the mother helps talk out, helps us up. Well, you have to watch the video. God bless Lexi. But we got a bigger thing going on. Got a bigger thing. Catch your breath here, Coach. Yesterday, you guys all remember the video. Pull up the video, Connor, if you can. Pull up the video of the arrest. You guys remember the assault. You guys remember this, don't you? You remember when Mark Trump and Alan Hoyle and Mike Heath and Ron Brock were down at the Boy Scouts of America Jamboree and down in West Virginia, and this assault takes place? All right? Now I want you to watch this. We have this on video. This assault is very, very clear. Alan Hoyle had his jaw knocked out of joint a bit. Mark Trump was assaulted, physically assaulted. This guy told his wife to run over Mark with her car. She backs up her car, tries to run over Mark. We take all this evidence. We have it, video evidence, and they go yesterday to go meet with the prosecuting attorney who's going to prosecute this guy right here. This video is a minute and 2 seconds. Go ahead and play it, Mark.
All right,
for me. Yeah.
Oh, really? This for sodomy? Abortion?
For sodomy.
Yeah, you're for abortion.
I guarantee you took it in the ass a few times.
Oh, really? Like you're all knowing.
Here, I'm gonna film. Yeah. I'm gonna film you too.
Oh, that's fine.
I got Facebook too.
That's good.
You're live.
You need to get in there.
Oh, I'm live.
You're live.
Yeah.
I'm live.
Let me get your license plate.
Are y'all proud of yourself?
Beginning, absolutely. We are.
Yeah, run him over.
I got it.
Oh, you got it?
Get off me. You get off me. It'll be assault. You'll be going to jail.
Who's going to assault?
Nobody wants you here.
Right there.
Go get him. Go get him. What are you doing, man?
What do you mean, what am I doing? You're fucking Christian, look, motherfucker?
No, you need to repent of your wicked deeds.
My deeds? What are you...
You need to repent. You're going to go to hell for your wicked ways.
Yeah, he'll have a lot of company there.
For me.
Sorry about the language, but it's the reality of what happened. So they're just standing out on the street. They're holding up signs. One of them's an abortion sign, whatever. The Boy Scout Jamboree. This assault takes place. They call the police. The police file a report. Yesterday, Mark Trump drove 2.5 hours over and 2.5 hours back from his home over into Fayetteville, West Virginia. Alan Hoyle drove from his home in North Carolina 5 hours over and 5 hours back. They met with the prosecuting attorney. Do we have her picture? Can we throw that up on the screen for everybody to see, Connor? To throw this assistant prosecuting attorney who is sworn an oath to uphold the Constitution. There is, I don't even know her name. I'll let Trump talk about her. And so she saw the video. She saw the pictures of Alan Hoyle's bruises on his face where he'd been assaulted. She saw it all. And what happened yesterday, Mark? Did they file charges and lock the guy up? What happened, Mark?
No, I don't know what happened yesterday, Coach. I'm still stunned. But we were in
What's her name?
Her name is Elizabeth Campbell. She works for Magistrate Parsons in Fayetteville, West Virginia.
We're talking about equal justice here, aren't we, Mark? We're talking about equal justice here.
Equal justice. Now we point at this out in the world. The police officers, after they talked to us, they said, well, you know, you stole, he's tried to steal the sign. Let's not worry about that. This is very clear. It's 2 counts of battery. There's, you know, clearly evidence there. And her backing over me, you know, that was attempted endangerment. So
the woman
dropped
those. The woman tried to run over you with a car. The man slugs Alan Hoyle. He steals a sign. The police come and say, man, you got some great evidence. They file the charges. Mm-hmm. They present it to the district attorney. Okay, go ahead.
That's right. So she calls me in and she's like, tell me about the sign. The first thing she asked was about the sign. You know, after she realized what happened, the sign was stolen, she stops me and says, tell me about the sign. So I said it was a demon holding a little girl's head with a knife going on pro-choice. And she was.
Wasn't even a real picture of a baby, Mark. It wasn't even one of the.
No, it was a cartoon picture. So she was physically appalled by that. She asked if I had the video. I played the video for her. And it was expressions on her face of disgust. And I could just feel the spirit. After that, she dismissed me. She called Alan Hoyle. Oh, and she threatened. She's like, you were lucky. Before she exited me, she said, you were lucky. I don't charge you with contributing to the delinquency of a minor for showing those pictures. So she she threatened me. And I'm like, what just happened? So I leave. Alan goes
in. You deserved it, basically, right, Mark? You deserved it. You deserve being slugged.
I didn't understand what was going on at the moment. But when Alan goes in and comes out shortly, he shares that the only thing she asked about was his signage. So she didn't talk to me about the assault. She didn't talk to me about the van almost running me over. She didn't talk to me about being called an MFing Christian. And any of the hate speech violations that accompany that.
And Mark, what if somebody had called you an MF African American, an MF and homo, an MF and Muslim, but they can call you an MF and Christian?
Right.
It's not a hate crime, right, brother? Unequal
That's
justice.
Right. So
unequal justice.
Unequal
Keep going.
Justice. So no problem. Alan comes out and he says all she asked about was a sign. So while we're talking, like within that 1 minute dialogue after he returns, she pops her head out and says, you're free to go. Now, the gentleman had never been inside the building. He was over outside the doors. This gentleman that attacked us, he never had to enter the building and he was dismissed by his lawyer. So I'm going, what just happened? So Alan and I are standing there. Everyone's dismissed. It didn't go into court. We merely were talked to by this Jezebel spirit in this woman. And it's over. Before it even started, it's over.
They did not file. You got slugged. You got threatened to be run over. The police were there. They said, this all happened. We have all the evidence. And this woman said, basically, she doesn't like the signs. You shouldn't be using the signs. You deserve it. We're dropping the case. Is that basically it, Mark?
Yes. And, well, we ask her, what's going on? Why did you drop it? And she says he was provoked. So her whole reason for dropping it was that we provoked him by exercising our First Amendment rights. So now in that courthouse, you can be provoked and punch someone, and you have the right to do so in that town because of that Jezebel dishing out unequal justice. So Alan and I decided to go back in and inquire more, but that turned into a bit of a discussion in the lobby. And Alan basically challenged her with the natural law and the Bible, and she wouldn't have no more of it.
So you said to her, didn't you ask her, didn't you swear an oath to the Constitution? Did you ask her that, Mark?
Yes. Well, Alan, in the dialogue, you know, basically Alan was saying that she swore an oath. And she says, I swore an oath to the Supreme Court. And Alan said, no, you didn't. You swore an oath to the Constitution. And she said, same thing. This is coming from the prosecuting attorney for the magistrate in West Virginia, you know, Fayetteville, West Virginia.
Fayetteville, West Virginia. Fayetteville,
the Supreme Court, this is the prosecuting attorney saying the Supreme Court is the same thing as the Constitution.
Well, what you can do, Mark, is you guys can file an appeal to that and go to the next level. don't she has there's a boss. Many. Everybody's got a boss.
Yeah, gonna, there's many things we're that we're going to do. So
that's what we're going to talk about, Chad. But first of all, before we do that, we have to get by the peaceniks out there who tell Mark to turn the other cheek. Mark, just turn the other cheek, brother. The Bible says we're going to be persecuted for it, Mark. Just wear it as a badge of honor. And see, we don't understand that if Mark just wears it a badge of honor, it'll happen to somebody else somewhere.
Exactly.
It's going to go on and on and on. And if we are a nation where assistant prosecutors determine right and wrong, guilt and innocence, if we are in a... By the way, we are in a system where that happens. As my dear friend Doug Hagman tells me, we have a legal system. We do not have a justice system. And right here it is, filtering down to the very heart of hometown America. This woman, this Jezebel woman, made the determination that Mark Trump and Alan Hoyle deserve to be punched in the mouth because they instigated, they provoked it. And so, Mark, as a Christian man, just turn the other cheek, brother. Hey, boys and girls, I don't play ball that way.
Well, see, Dave, that's like – hold on, Mark. That's why. That's like saying that they provoked him. It's like saying some young girl wore a miniskirt, okay,
amen,
or yoga pants and turned some other guy on, so then he went and had his way with her against her will. And then it's okay. And then it's her fault. I mean, come on, folks. Come on. This is serious.
This is where we are now. Now, hang on a second here. I know some of you want to get in here. I'm still busting too, all right? I'm not quite done here yet. Bear with me. Hey, Connor, pull up. Hey, folks, this is serious stuff, okay? This is serious stuff. Pull up. It says misfeasance. I want you guys to see there are still laws out there, okay? Now, I went to the law dictionary, and it says, what is misfeasance? Remember we talked the other day about misfeasance of prison and misfeasance of treason? This is right from, I can't remember what. It doesn't matter. Misfeasance occurs when an act is legal but is performed illegally or in an improper manner. A defendant is responsible for misfeasance when they willfully commit a wrong that causes harm to the plaintiff or breaches their duty of care by performing the legal act. So so Mark is the defendant. He goes to the... Mark, hang on a minute. Let me back up. Mark's a plaintiff. Mark and Alan are plaintiffs. They go to the officials, and the official, now she becomes the defendant. Because why? She did not do her duty. She used her own system of justice, say he deserved it. She now becomes the defendant in this misfeasance case. For a prima facie negligence case, there are four elements required duly owed to the plaintiff by the defendant. So in other words, Mark can charge her with these four things present, okay? Number one, breach of duty, causation, damages. A plaintiff is owed a duty of reasonable care, Mark is the plaintiff, which must be toward a foreseeable plaintiff. The standard of care exercised towards the plaintiff should be that of reasonable, ordinary, and a prudent person in similar circumstances. Usually, misfeasance occurs in a business or public office setting. Misfeasance can occur in an unintentional ways through negligence without intent or violation of law. The term is usually used when a professional or public officer performs his job, but not in a proper duty. It's misfeasance, okay? Now, hang on a minute. Here are some examples of misfeasance. In summary, a misfeasance is the act of performing a legal action, but in an improper way. All right? And then it gives examples. So she performed her duty, but she performed it in an improper way. But that's not the worst of it. Hey, Mark. Hey, Connor. Let's go to the next one. Let's go to malfeasance. Like anytime you hear mal, that means bad, like malignant, malfeasance. Malfeasance, is that the one I want up there, Connor? Let me see here. Yeah, it should just say malfeasance. Okay. Malfeasance is a broad term that describes conduct that is inherently wrong or unlawful. It is most commonly used in reference to actions by public officials or employees who have failed to perform the duties required of them by statute. This description of corruption or misconduct may be used both, this description of corruption or misconduct may be used in both civil and criminal legal actions. To explore this concept, consider the following definition. Malfeasance is the commission by a public official, an assistant prosecutor, or an act that is harmful, legally unjustifiable, or contrary to law. So what is malfeasance? Term refers to intentionally doing something that is wrong, intentionally, either legally or morally. Malfeasance is a dishonest act, an action undertaken for improper purposes, or an act that the individual knows exceeds his or her authority. This is not to be confused with misfeasance, which refers to doing something that is wrong by mistake or error or negligence or nonfeasance, which requires a failure to act when under an obligation to do so. You with me, folks? So she is guilty, in my most humble, not so humble opinion, at least of misfeasance, but I would say she is guilty of malfeasance. Now, we're going to sit back and take it, boys and girls? Is it what good Christians do? Sit back and take it? Not the Supreme Court, not the FBI, not the CIA, but little local prosecutors. Are we going to let them now be the ones who are the final arbiter of what's right and wrong? And that Mark Trump deserved it because they didn't like his message? Yes.
When I walked out and Alan and I are walking out to our vehicles, I felt like that was the end of it. Is this the end of it? Now think about this, folks. If we were not joined up at the hip with Coach, it would have been the end of it. Most people go into courthouses, they walk out, they don't know of any other thing they can do. I don't either. But I've been joined up with Coach and Alan and these men who have done this. Do y'all realize what value that is to know somebody like Roger Weaver who calls you and maybe helps you out with it, or Dale, who's walked through many of these situations? Guys, we are part of the remnant, and we can't let these things happen.
For us to know to do good and not to do it, to us it is sin. Now here's the question, Christians, should we just let them roll over us and then let this girl do this to somebody else and do it to somebody else? I said to my wife this morning, isn't it amazing how these lefties get in positions of power? Isn't it amazing? And we don't think elections matter. It is amazing. We have a local town, I won't say which one, doesn't matter. From what I understand, an open homosexual is running on the Democrat ballot. He's got a chance to win. Church going to come out against that? No, they're not going to come out. Okay, I'm going to shut up a minute because I have somewhat of a plan, but I'd love to hear from some of you here.
Yeah, I'll throw in my two cents here. Yeah, listen, everybody knows me is I'm all about stepping into the face and the cowardice Christian turning the other cheek. I'm done with. All right, I've been making the videos about it. I'm at a Trump training event last night, handing out the flyers, the cards, this sort of thing. And I get into this heated slash argument with this other guy that took issue with what I had written on the flyers about hiding behind church walls, doing nothing. And I took him down this line of thought that, just like Coach says, we've been getting our butt kicked for 50 years. And I'm speaking loud, so I have a small audience around me, right? So hiding behind church walls, doing nothing. I said, we got multiple churches on every street, multiple churches on every countryside. We've been getting our butt kicked for 50 years and 61 million crushed baby skulls. And it led into the debate argument about the rapture theology that I've been hearing since 1980. All right. So I ultimately left. I mean, I got nowhere with him because he's got his feet dug in the cowardice brick and mortar church. And I got my stuff. I said, I got to go. I'm going to go over here to the upper room and talk to these other Republicans and hand out this information. But I could just tell that I gave him an entire school of thought that he had never heard before, and my small audience of the Trump supporters there.
Mm. Good for you, Bobby. Good for you, folks. Let's look. I've said this forever, that we lose because the other side knows we won't fight back. The other side, hey, Paula, you just put up that scripture from Micah. Could you give that? Could you give that to Connor, please? You can throw that up on the screen. They know we're not going to fight back. They know they're not going to fight back. But yes, we are. Yes, we are. We're going to take our equal justice tour to Fayetteville, West Virginia. That's what we're going to do. We are going to fight back. This is a battle that we can win, and we will win. Now, what we need to do is we're going to start a campaign here this morning, but we need those of you out there to help spread the. I asked Mark to. I'm sorry, my brain's going 1,000 different directions. Mike Heath on his daily word that he his daily commentary. Mike had a great synopsis of it. And I don't know if you can pull that up there real quick for us, Connor, but this is something that you could share with others. Folks, we have got to get this word out there and get it viral. And we've got to let the people down in Fayetteville, West Virginia, and across America, our local officials know that they will not get away with this. This ain't Bill Barr. This isn't Hillary Clinton. This is Mark Trump and Alan Hoyle with some assistant prosecutor who took it upon herself to be judge, jury, and executioner on this case. And we cannot let this go on. And we need to bring attention and power and force down upon Fayetteville, West Virginia, like they have never seen. Now, somebody tell me why I'm wrong. That was an invitation. Somebody tell me what I'm right. Somebody tell me something. Somebody come on in here.
Dave, I'll come in and tell you that you are right from a practicing lawyer standpoint. I think that the other people you include are the county commissioners. And the reason you do that is they fund the prosecutor's office. Whatever package you send down there, we send down, you also send to the local newspaper, to the editor of the paper. So that's how you're going to swell some public opinion. But the county commissioners fund. The other thing you want to know is if you want to know if she's a prosecutor full-time or if she's part-time. A lot of these towns have private attorneys that serve the role of prosecutor on a part-time basis. So there's a lot of different things to look at as you start moving forward. But the biggest problem I have is when she said, and I'm assuming, Mark, more than one person heard this, when she said, you provoked him. That is terrible. That's dangerous. So I'm assuming... Yeah. More than one person heard that. The next time you want to have that recorded, if you can, with a GoPro. But this idea that you provoked him, we all know where that leads. Let's look at rape.
So, Roger, that means I can start going to Planned Parenthood and start punching the death squirts, right?
Well, yes. So we can pin her ears back a little bit, but the layer up and the layer up is where you want to pin them back. And the county commissioners are key to this because they fund that place.
Amen. But listen.
And find out when the next election is for the prosecutor and get a feel for this guy. Is he going to run again? Is he not? Who's running against him? Provide this video to that person who may be running so he could incorporate it into his campaign to oust the person. You know, there's a lot of different directions to go.
Well, first thing we ought to do is we ought to get her job, whatever her job is. They would do that to us, would they not? Would they do that or not? Yes, I believe they would. They would do that to us. They would want to
tag her name in a civil lawsuit also. Yes, file a lawsuit against the guy who hit and file a lawsuit also against her.
We need some good legal advice, but these are things that we're going to do. See, listen, this is me. I have no vengeance in my heart. This ain't about vengeance, folks. This is about equal justice. Micah, what verse was that in Micah, Polly? Did you give that to Connor to pull up there? I know you did. Is it up on the screen? Oh, you got Mike's Shield of Faith up there. Okay, so here's Mike's Shield of Faith. Folks, you can Mike lays the whole thing out there. He's got the phone number. We're going to make some phone calls here. She works for Magistrate Samuel D. Parsons in Fayetteville, Western Virginia. And her phone number is, so there's a phone number we can call. We're going to do it. It explains the whole thing that happens there, okay? All right? We're going to do this, folks. Now, where can they get this? We will post this on our website so you can have, we'll post it in the chat. Mike Heath's Take Up the Shield of Faith, Resist Him, Jezebel Liz Campbell, the Assistant Prosecutor. It's all right there. So we want to make sure that people have this before them. You can forward it to whoever you want to. Forward it to all of your email lists so the people know exactly what's going on. And then we're going to start a campaign. From Polly, what was that verse in Micah that we can get Connor to pull that up? There it is. All right, Micah, go start the top, Connor. I like to read things in context. I just don't like to start beginning. This is Micah. Chapter 6, verse 1. Hear ye now what the Lord says. Arise, contend you. Contend! Contend! You before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people. Hey, Lord's upset with y'all. And he will plead with y'all. O my people, what have I done unto thee? And when have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought you up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of servants. And I sent before you Moses and Aaron and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith or how shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves? Shall I bring all these sacrifices to him? Is that what's going to make God happy? Will the Lord be pleased with the thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give him my firstborn for my transgressions and fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed me, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. There it is, boys. Do justly. Lord demands justice. The Lord demands justice. It's biblical. Somebody else come on in here. I got a phone number. We're going to make some phone calls today. Pull that back up there, Connor. I'm going to make some phone calls. I'm going to call the prosecutor's office. Go back to what you had up there before, Con. I think, there it is. There's the phone number. 304-574-4729. Now, Mike, I hope they watch this. They'll probably come and watch this. I hope they do. Hey, Mark, what would be the message that you would want them to give to this prosecutor? Because this phone call will go to her boss.
No, not right now. You got to wait till the voice box is full. It was full at 5 o'clock this morning.
It is already full?
It's already full. I imagine if you're in West Virginia, it was full when they closed business yesterday because they probably never checked their voicemail.
Probably didn't. And so we'll have to give them time to clear it out, right? Give them time to clear it out. And we want to call Samuel D. Parsons in Fayetteville, West Virginia. There's the phone number on your. Hey, will you guys be one of the 100 who will do it? Are you scared to do it? Oh, coach, if I do that, I'm going to get involved, then the Clintons will be after me. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Are we going to bombard this little community and let them know that we will not put up with this? We will not put up with this. This is Christian discrimination, folks. Can you say that word? Will your tongue work? Can you say that? Christian discrimination.
Christian discrimination.
Christian discrimination. This is viewpoint discrimination. This is misfeasance and malfeasance of duty, and we will hold them accountable. And we will tell the prosecutor that if he doesn't do something about it, that we are coming after his office as well, and that we are going to raise the stink in that little community like they have never seen. Now, does anybody want to pull me back and say, Coach, you're wrong? We don't want to do that. Well, that's what I'm going to do. And I'll tell you what else I'm going to do. I'm going to look at my calendar. We're making a visit to Fayetteville, West Virginia, folks. We're going to do an equal justice tour to Fayetteville, West Virginia, and we're going to do it. We're going to amp this thing up. Okay. Hey, can I tell you this? I know we win in the end. I want to win now. I want to win now. Mark Trump deserves justice. Alan Hoyle deserves justice. Those little babies deserve justice. Yeah, honey, go ahead and speak.
I was trying. Anyway, I'm having similar situations here in Pennsylvania, too. I have been attacked by the judge, by the court system for quite a while now.
Well, honey, listen, we're not going to talk about that. I'm not shutting you off. We're in the middle of an initiative right here, and I'm not going to muddy the issue. We're going after this one. We're going to go after this one.
Because yes.
You want me to tell you about some of the issues I've had with the legal system? Does everybody, if I gave everybody a chance to come on here and tell them about the issues they were having in the legal system, would everybody have an issue? Why? Because Doug Hagman said it's a legal system and it's not a justice system. And how long are we going to continue to be that way? I'm not mad at you, honey. I'm not trying to rain on your parade. We're focused on this one right now. This one is hot. This is the one we're going to go after.
Yes, I'll join you.
All right, cool.
Yes.
Cool. Somebody else, come on in here.
Well, Dave, I was just thinking another thing. This fella now, he's going to be emboldened because he believes he's going to escalate. Amen. Okay, so now this prosecutor, they are under liability if this guy does any additional action. They're on notice that they have a liable for any damages that this guy does from here on out.
Good point.
What's that good, Jack?
Amen, Chad. Amen.
This goes deeper into malfeasance of office. You understand that, folks? We're putting them on notice, and now this malfeasance in office gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And are we looking at a civil suit? You bet you are. You bet we are. You bet you we are. We're looking at a civil suit, not only at the guy who did it, but at the malfeasance and misfeasance of everybody involved with it that's not doing their job. Can you imagine if a Christian had punched somebody at the Planned Parenthood? Can you even imagine? It's unequal justice. Come on in. I feel like I'm hanging out there. I'm going to go. Yeah.
The complaint form on the screen, Robert Klaus said, print that out or get a copy of it so we can print it out. If everyone filled that out, that's another piece of paper that Charleston has to process. This goes to Charleston, West Virginia, to the Judicial Investigation Commission. So even if they didn't do anything, they got to process.
How do we do this in a nice downloadable form, Jared or whoever? Maybe we can put that.
Well, there's a link at the top.
Hey, Mark, listen to me, Mark. Mm-hmm. According to what Chad Estes told us, only one will probably do with this. I bet Larry will do it. I'm going to do it. Is anybody else going to do it? Or have I just wasted an hour spitting into the screen here? Is anybody else going to get involved with it? What if we got this to be a national story and we so over... What if we made every little county in America think, uh-oh, we got to be careful. Remember what they did to that other Christian guy? Oh, we're not going to let that happen in our community.
And isn't the video compelling enough for anyone? I mean, that associated with this, right? I mean, it's obvious that people don't want that to happen to them.
No, they don't. Well, everybody can see it. Hey, guys, imagine, if you will, with me, right there, freeze that. Imagine Alan Hoyle's black and this guy punches him. Imagine Alan Hoyle is a homosexual and this guy punches him. Huh? Hey, Mark, Christian discrimination.
Every email or communication should have that video as an attachment.
That's another great point. How do we make this happen? Some tech guy come in
here. The link to download the form is in the chat.
We can send an email to your mailing list. We can send an email with all the links.
Okay, we need to send an email with.
I want.
Yeah. Holly, get that ready. An email link with all the links, with the video link and with the Mike Heath letter link and with this letter that we can write. All three of those links.
The complaint form.
Let's bulletize some of his comments, like you, L. Muffin, Christians. You know, and some of the comments in this are significant, and that'll cause people to want to click it and watch it. Like run over him, you know? These are things that are compelling. Yeah. I would watch it if those are the comments. So
we can give talking points. Yeah, we can give talking points in the email. Make sure you're subscribed to CoachDaveLive.com.
So they said, can you imagine that they said, hey, if you MF and Muslims, can you imagine what would be going on in America today? You MF and blacks, you MF and homos. No, you MF and Christians, that's okay. Ain't no hate speech there. I'm sick of it, man. I'm sick of it. So we're looking for help. Looking for help. That guy right there, that guy's going to get a civil suit he ain't never seen. That guy right there. And he's going to bring this Liz right in there with him.
Hey, pause that a second.
Hold right there.
All right. I even told the prosecuting attorney, see where that van's parked? That's where the buses made their turn. He stopped right in the middle of the street to hop out where the buses were turning. And that didn't matter. It totally didn't matter. She was worried about if I had a permit. She actually asked if we had permits, and that was we didn't have permits, but the officers, local authorities, and the state police knew we were there. And she wanted names for the state police and the people. I mean, she was on a witch hunt. She was. It was the witches doing the hunting.
That's right. Yep. She got a position of authority, and she used her authority, right?
That's right.
Folks,
fear. Yep.
And those policemen that were on there that are going to be on that report, those police officers should be brought into when you testify, because they're right there. They are the law at that moment, and they're going to explain it out right there. That attorney is going to look like she just ate a bucket of crow.
Yep. Well, we hope so. We hope so. And we got some work to do, but folks, we need your help on it. So you can start doing it right now today. Right now today, we can begin to start making phone calls and say, we want justice. You don't be afraid to say, this is what happened to our friend yesterday, and we want justice. This is not equal justice, and we want justice.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Page 7 of that complaint, only you have to have you sign an affidavit to submit with your complaint, and that affidavit has to be executed in the county that you're complaining about.
And Doug Hagman made a point that the victims must complete this form, and he has experience with this too.
To submit it.
Okay, well, maybe Doug,
y'all are talking over each other. Come on.
Yeah. Well, we want to do this right. Listen, right now you can make phone calls, okay? We'll have an update tomorrow. Right now, about 10 o'clock, we can start making phone calls, right? And we want to.
Well, I was just going to say, Dave, on that video, that it'd be nice if you can make another copy of it and then put the put what they said on the screen so it can write and remember what you call that, right? The annotations or whatever. On the screen. So whatever they say, then have that grow right on the screen. So as they talk, then it says it right there on the video.
Good point, Chad. I'm not techie enough to be able to do that. Somebody is techie enough to do it. An effectively made video would be really something we could really use. But in the meantime, we can start making the call. We can start making those calls. Polly, you'll get to work on the email out to everybody, and let's go to war. Anybody?
Yeah.
Is there a case number when we call in?
Great question. Hey, let's do this. Folks, let's do this. Let's hold off till tomorrow. We'll get all this stuff for you. And then everybody, we can begin this tomorrow. But let's wait till we do get all the details, the case number. That's all good stuff, Joseph. And then maybe we can find an email and we can send them the links and all that. Anybody disagree with that as a plan?
No, that's good. Hey, Polly, if you can send me the MP4 file of that video of Mark and Alan being assaulted during my between the putting wood on the grill today for the hams, I will sit and make over, you know, I'll put in words on top of the video what is being said in the video.
Awesome. Unequal justice, folks, happening in small town America. The litany is, I mean, we could go on and on with everybody's got a story to tell. Robert, I forgot your devotional. I didn't forget. I didn't have time for it today. Maybe they'll get a book and read it on their own. God bless you, folks. Stay in touch. We'll have more information for you tomorrow.